If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Pixel Sift is proudly supported by Murdoch University School of Arts. Do you want to learn to make your own Twitch channel or podcast and outclass the competition? Well, the skills you learn in a creative degree in game, sound, film, and journalism will put you in a class of your own. Have a look at murdoch.edu.au/arts to learn more about what they've got on offer. That again was murdoch.edu.au/arts, or you can search Murdoch University for more information. Murdoch University School of Arts proudly supporting Pixel Sift.
Pixel Sift.
Hello and welcome to Pixel Sift, the show dedicated to indie games from Australia and the world. My name's Fiona and joining me tonight is my co-host Gianni. How are you going?
I'm very excited because we've got some brand new music, which is
cool. I'm really excited about this new theme song as well. It's pretty awesome. So now we're also pretty lucky tonight. Instead of one guest, we have two joining us, Dr. Kate Rains-Goldie and Soph Mather. Thanks for joining us. So they're both here tonight to talk about XRWA, the Virtual Reality and Interactive Media Festival, and the Blockbuster Play Up Perth event that is part of it. But first of all, Gianni, what are we talking about?
Well, you know that we like indie games here, Fiona, I'm sure. Everyone who listens to Pixel Sift will know that we like indie games. But Jonathan Blow, who is, I guess, one of the older indie game creators, I guess the one more established creator of games like Braid and The Witness, said at a recent convention that the indie game scene has become stagnant. We're going to be talking all about that.
Right, so let's get started.
Mitch, what's Discord?
Discord is an online chat service that most gamers use. Incidentally, you can also use it to talk to us at pixelsiv.com.au/discord.
Yeah, you can talk about episodes, you can talk about upcoming topics, you can probably even coerce Mitch into playing a game with you online.
That's not going to happen.
That is going to happen. You're doing it. I'm saying that's happening. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
join Discord.
You should grow your beard back.
pixelsiv.com.au/discord.
Always a good sponsor, right there.
Yeah, we'll chuck one in there. Last month, Jonathan Blow was at an event called Casual Connect, and he did an interview where he was on stage and he talked about games and indie game development and all that sort of thing. But he made some comments that were quite interesting, and I think a lot of people in the indie game development scene had something to say about it. So Jonathan Blow, who created games like Braid and The Witness, these really sort of blockbuster and sort of genre-changing independent games, basically in a team, small team by himself, mostly with some other people helping out, said that game development, especially for indies, had stagnated in the past few years because of a lack of innovation. So I want to chuck this out straight away to anyone who might be watching on any of our channels, live channels here. Tell me what you think. Do you think that games have stagnated or have they kept innovating? And maybe can you give us some suggestions about what games you think are really innovative, especially in that indie scene? Kate and Soph, I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be for this answer, this question, but do you think indie game development has stagnated in the last 5-10 years?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. No. My answer would be no. But I don't know. I would say perhaps he needs to look a bit deeper. Within my own community, I kind of see innovation happening all the time, whether it's in like storytelling or collaborations. And that's just even like within Perth, so that's exciting to me. And the fact that like the argument that video games are art or not is still existing, I think kind of makes me feel like innovation is happening because we're always pushing that boundary. So that's my take, but I'm not a
pro. That games are not art thing is super annoying. But yeah, but we were talking about this on the way over, and I think what you were saying about there's kind of like Because I would kind of say like no and yes, because there's that middle ground of like the you know, the bigger indie studios, and there's this great book called Subculture: The Meaning of Style, which is by Dick Hebdige, and was required reading when I was in university for one of my courses. But it was really interesting because it was talking about how basically everything gets kind of co-opted by the mainstream. So it was largely about punk rock and punk music and how that became like a mainstream thing. And I think it's kind of just part of the natural process that something new and really innovative and grassroots will become developed and become more mainstream and less innovative and more established as an art form. And so I think you can't really say blanket all indies are not innovative, but I think that there's a part of it, yeah, that is more developed, and that's just kind of a natural part of the process. But I think stuff like what you guys are doing at Potluck is like a real great example of like really grassroots innovation pushing the boundaries that's not commercial. And I guess that's the other piece of the Dick Hebdige book, is that it's kind of what happens with commercialism and kind of capitalism.
So if maybe it's a good idea to explain to people what Potluck
is. Yes, tell us about Potluck.
That's a art collective I run with a couple of mates, and we put on art, well, like they like exhibition house parties. So we have a bunch of local game devs submit games around a theme. We get art and poetry, audio installations, anything you want to suggest. And also we just have a big house party. But that's been super exciting because just to see collaborations form with like local developers and just like giving them a deadline and them to create something. And it is it's an art, you know, and the passion they're putting into it. So that's what we do. And that's been kind of really healthy for me. And I think Perth, I'll go out on a limb here.
I would agree. Yeah, but it's that tension between like art and capitalism, art and commercialism, right? So it's like the art is really pushing the boundaries, but it's also there's more kind of established. It's like not the same space it was when indies were kind of like, you know, like the counterculture against the, you know, AAA studios.
And this is a bad year as like a bad example this year as far as Perth being a little bit behind on that level, because we have some very, very great opportunities at the moment. But, you know, I think Potluck for me filled a void in Perth, you know, in that sense, you know, just like pushing back and just being something different and creative. So,
I think one of the interesting points that Jonathan Blow makes, and if you kind of frame it from what one of these quotes here that I'll read you now, you can sort of see the perspective that he might be coming from. He says that there's a small number of people who I would say would actually do creative stuff, and not saying what creative stuff is, but everyone else is trying to be like a cheap AAA game, and suggested that, you know, that sort of, there was a brief period around 2008 to 2011 where it really expanded, but after that it's kind of been stagnant, and I don't think you can just pick a topic and make a game about it and have it be a great game. It doesn't really work that way. So, I mean, what do you say to that? That, you know, maybe it is the factor that the accessibility and the tools are a lot easier to make really high quality games potentially by yourself or in a very small team now. But maybe people in that perspective might be making different sorts of games than to what the time when Braid was being made.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what your goal is, right? Are you trying to do something new and be innovative and push the boundaries? Or are you trying to make money, or is it somewhere in between? And so I think, yeah, it depends on the reason, but because it is super accessible for everybody now, it's kind of like everybody can do what they want to do, and they don't have to go one way or the other. And so I guess you're just seeing kind of the democratization of the platform and the medium, and that's what happens, is it does go probably a bit more commercial, but still that doesn't mean everybody's gone that way.
There is one point that he also talks about. He says that the problem also, it seems, that games that are really innovative aren't talked about as much. They're being buried by all the other games. Like you were saying, how it's much easier to create games is being buried by a lot of excess in all the other ones.
Then it becomes like a marketing issue. Because if you look at like any successful game, especially AAA, they spend more than half their budget on marketing, right? So it's kind of like, it's not necessarily, is it the best game or the most interesting or the most innovative? Is it? It's the commercialism versus.
And there's like a big stigma around video games as well. So it's like, you know, more innovative, weird games are going to not, they don't fit that box. So it's going to be harder to market. I mean, even if they want to market it.
And I think also too, like, it, you know, if we're talking about like the sort of maturing of the medium, I think like if you look at any art form or any media, you have the beginning where we're trying to figure out, like, what is it that we're making? So if you look at early film, right, it was just people were excited by the fact that there's a long take of a train driving down right at the station. It's like, wow, people will come and see that. And we're in that stage in kind of XR, like virtual reality and augmented reality, and that kind of space where we're doing stuff beyond just like traditional video games. And it's at that space where like everything is to be written, like how it looks and what the rules are and the conventions. And so I'm kind of more excited about that space. And so, you know, for feeling like, okay, we're stuck with indie games, we're kind of stuck in being innovative there. Well, I think that there's so much more that we can do in terms of pushing the boundaries and doing stuff that's, you know, like Pokemon Go was pretty innovative, but we haven't seen anything since. But yeah. Minecraft is coming out now, and that's kind of interesting. And so
lots of Pokemon Go clones and using that sort of format, which is really
but
interesting.
But nothing that kind
of last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing that kind of blew people's minds as much. And so that's kind of what I'm really excited about is pushing the boundaries of what we can do of games in the biggest sense of the word, not just video games.
So thanks for watching Pixel Sif, your indie gaming interview podcast live on Twitch or whatever other platform you may be watching it on. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about whether innovation in the indie game scene has become stagnant over the last few years. So Soph and Kate, what game would you say is innovative? What comes to your mind with innovation?
Well, see, my answer to that is I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2 till the end, and that's not an indie game, but I felt like that, like when I, because I don't have tons of time, but you know, part of what I do is knowing, it sounds like a good problem to have, which is that I do need to kind of play video games as part of what I do, which is pretty awesome. But when I'm kind of playing a new game, it's kind of, I want to see like, what is it that is new about it? Like, what's the new mechanic? What's the new thing that's different about it? And so I thought Red Dead Redemption, like I rarely, rarely, rarely play games till the very end. And I know it's not an indie game, but I just thought that it was such an interesting, nuanced story. It was everything was really interesting about it. So I felt like it was pushing a lot of, I mean, it wasn't innovative, but I think it was just really, really well done. And I think
very immersive.
Yeah. And I think part of that is, you can tell that the medium is maturing because you get to that point where you're having that, like it's built on the previous iterations and the experiments. And you can see that it's really, like it's such a different game from other Rockstar games, right? But you can see where it's kind of come from that. And also the fact that it's even just the kind of much more complicated male protagonist and inclusion of like the what happened with the indigenous people in North America. It's just stuff that you don't usually see. It's like treated so well and in such a deep way in video games. Like it's not perfect, but in terms of like what I've seen, it's kind of like, wow, you can really see that it's getting to that point where it's really deep and interesting.
What about you, Soph? Any game that comes to mind?
Well, I don't play a lot of games. I do more, I don't know. I did get to be involved a little bit with the Free Play Awards this year, and like every year that just blows my mind. Like I think what excites me is people just keep pushing stories, like storylines in video games, and like being vulnerable and being wholesome, and I think like that's a really big breath of fresh air for me, but I don't play a lot of games. And experimental games as well, but anything specific? No, no idea.
I find a lot of indie games are very good at focusing on the storytelling. Like there's so many out there that they will have very minimalistic art and graphics, but it's the story they focus on. And that's what I really like, because there's lots of games like Fortnite and all the online games that have no story whatsoever. So I find that really interesting that that's the thing they go to.
And I think that Red Dead Redemption 2 probably has that as to really thank for that, is that that authenticity, right, and being vulnerable is, I think that really came from what's happened with indie game scene. But I also want to say, we were talking about this earlier, Kentucky Route Zero, I know it's a bit not so recent, but I was a huge fan of that. And speaking about really interesting storytelling, and Sophie maybe wants to talk about that a bit more.
That's just like one of my favorite games. I really, really loved the storytelling. This is really unfair. This is so unfair. I got to have brunch with them in London earlier this year. It was really exciting and really cool. But the storytelling in that game is, it's got a vibe about it, that game. So I don't know, is that KR0 was innovative, I would say?
Oh yeah, I would totally say so.
Yeah.
Jonathan Blow actually says something to that. It says that games are really good at making settings. They're good at establishing a mood, but what they're not good at is plot. So why are we copying story telling structures from things that have plot? So got a quote for everything there. We might leave this. We asked this people on Twitter and Instagram and on Discord as well. So thanks to everyone who contributed to their answers there. We asked people what one of the most innovative games of the last couple of years were. On Discord, Wish said, I'm going to say Minecraft because I can't really remember life before that, but Minecraft is still one of the best games ever made. Banrider says, I really liked Shovel Knight and Cuphead as well as Binding of Isaac. And I think that's a really interesting one of, you know, taking an established format and then innovating on top of those as well. Brian on Discord says that Superhot was really innovative. It made a shooter into a kind of a puzzle game. And we've had a whole bunch of other people like This War of Mine. Nobuyoshi on Facebook says, because you don't play a soldier in a war context, you play a survivor of war, making those heavy moral decisions during the game that could affect whether you lived or died. And there's plenty of other ones. Lots of people are saying Cuphead, Dead Cells, Minecraft comes up quite a few times. Captain Perth says one, which I think is quite interesting, especially from the Jonathan Blow era of indie games. Captain Perth says, I think Fez would be my pick. The developer crafted some truly mind-bending puzzles and at times that span multiple dimensions. They even peppered in a lovely little love story as well. Innovative in the way it presented these puzzles and in the way that it made you approach the game. Really loved it.
I think that's a good place to end this topic, and why don't we get on and move to the next one?
Hey, Mitch.
Yep.
You know, there is multiple ways that you can subscribe to Pixel Sift.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
You could subscribe on your podcast player of choice if you like audio-only versions.
Like Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts?
Or even Google Play if you're in the US. Or you can jump on Twitch and you can give us a follow. Or on YouTube if you like the video versions.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know we were on so many things.
Yep, and you'll get a handy little notification as soon as there's a new episode for you to watch or listen to.
Wow, I'm going to do that right now.
I'm sure you will, Mitch, because you're a good boy.
So tonight we're talking about the new virtual reality festival, XRWA. So joining us to tell us all about what we can expect to see there is XRWA producer Dr. Kate Rains-Goldie and Sophie Mather, curator of the PlayUp Perth Game Zone at XRWA. So just to start off, Kate, what is XRWA for those who might not know?
Well, it's really great because it's the first year we're doing it, and it's running as part of the Revelation Film Fest, which has actually been running for 22 years in Perth and has about 22,000 attendees every year. So it's kind of part of this massive, established, amazing festival. But it's basically a festival of immersive reality, and we're using that in the broadest sense. So it includes screen-based video games, but augmented reality, mixed reality, virtual reality, kind of all the things. And I think that it's probably one of the first, if not the first of its kind in Australia, for sure in WA. And so I think that it's a really great kind of showcase of what's happening in WA that's really amazing and connecting point between kind of film and VR and AR and mixed reality and video games. And it's just kind of like what we need to have happening.
It's really great to see games finally being included in the Revelations Festival and some of these other big festivals that have been going on for ages. So what could you give us a little bit of a taste of what experiences we might see at the festival?
Sure. So from July, it's running in July, so it's basically a week-long thing, but the kind of conference or expo proper is running from the 12th of July to the 14th of July. And so that's basically at the Pan Pacific. There is going to be the Games and Experience Emporium, which is you can come and try a whole bunch of different stuff. And that's what the PlayUp Perth Game Zone is going to be part of, which is exclusively games. And there's also going to be amazing panels from local creators as well as people coming from interstate. So we have Christy Dana and Maze Wallen coming from interstate. And We have also stuff around VR and enterprise and VR and creative. So I'm going to be moderating those two panels. And we have a Lego for Serious Play workshop. So we're really kind of pushing that, like, games and play and celebrating kind of all of the stuff that's happening in the space.
And so if Kate mentioned there that Play Up Perth component of it. Can you tell us what that is and how it all works?
Yeah, so we've been offered a space through, so it's been presented by Sentient Computing, which is very nice, the Play Up Perth Game Zone. And I want it to be a space that has, like, your regular Play Up games that are going to be, like, mid-development, but also, like, showcasing more of, you know, like, finished, polished games as well. I chased up He and Fam because his body of work is incredible. And it's, like, you know, based from an analog format, and he's turned it into digital, which I quite like that little, yeah, part of it. Yeah, so it's going to be an assortment of different games. It's going to be quite relaxed. And, yeah, we'll be announcing who's going to be there later on next week.
Is the idea all West Australian titles? Is that kind of the...
Yeah, this year it is, because we've got such a, you know, pretty nice body of work these days. I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. Yeah, it is all
more
WA.
Enough to fill out a whole game zone.
Yes, yeah, there is. And, you know, it's just, like, it's really nice to be included alongside screen. So, yes, I think it'll be really nice to put the games out there alongside all this other stuff.
And we still have, we're accepting on a rolling basis. So it's closing, applications are closing Monday.
They're closing tomorrow, but happy to push it to Monday. Yeah. And then, yeah.
So we have a few spots available still. So
yeah,
if you're haven't applied and not on our radar, please get in touch. And it's not just
that'd,
VR.
That'd be Monday 17th if you're listening to the podcast. Yeah. So that may have passed by the time you listen to this, but if you listen straight away, Monday 17th of June.
Yeah, so it's not just VR. A lot of people kind of assume that it's because it's part of XRWA that it's only VR, but it's basically kind of any WA-made game. And it can be in development or finished, which is a little bit different from the usual Play at Perth, which is games in development, but this is like a showcase of what's happening. So as long as it's playable, get in touch.
And it's nice that this is coming in time with the new funding that was announced a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of happening for WA at the moment, which is really amazing.
Yeah, it's a bit of an exciting year for us. It's just like really nice to be included alongside screen because, I mean, 4 years ago when I was working at SK, we tried to go for some grant funding, and they just straight up was like, we love the idea, it's great, but it's not art, so you won't get anything, or it's not a movie, so you won't get anything. And so, yes, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really good point, which is that because it's kind of part of a festival of a very well-established art form, which is film, it's kind of like adding that validation, which unfortunately we still need to some extent in WA, but I think that it's just really great. And also we have funding for 3 years, so this is going to be something that's going to keep going for another 2 years at least. Mm. And I think that it's also we're doing kind of the broad spectrum of things, which includes the enterprise stuff and the commercial stuff, but also the art stuff, like the really just pushing the boundary stuff.
So thanks for watching Pixel Sift. If you're just joining us on one of our live platforms, we're talking to Dr. Kate Raines-Goldie and Soph Mather about the new interactive games festival called XRWA. So Kate, the festival, VR technology has been around for quite a while. And like you said, this tends to have a little bit of focus on VR. Why are we now just getting an event like XRWA?
Well, yeah, I think it's starting to become part of the mainstream. Like, I think last year was the year before that it was, people were thinking VR was going to finally go mainstream, especially with games. And I don't think it really happened in the way that people thought, which is that a lot of the really successful examples of VR have actually been in the enterprise space. So like training and simulation, as well as things like digital twins and kind of non-game stuff, but using game technology, which is what Sentient does. So, I think that in terms of it being kind of a more mainstream thing, it's just taking longer than people thought because it's not kind of playing out the way that people thought.
Mm.
How is that all playing out, Kate? Like, what is the way that it's working? I guess maybe we thought it was going to go one way, but how is it kind of the reality of virtual reality and mixed reality and augmented reality?
Yeah, it's kind of, and I think that's why we're starting to move towards that XR way of describing it, because it's, we have all these kind of acronyms to describe what's essentially becoming the same thing, which is why Microsoft is now pushing that mixed reality idea, which is that you have one kind of goggle that moves you between being completely in virtual reality to being kind of in augmented reality. And the kind of what seems to be really successful and like why, for example, sentient computing is doing really well, or like companies like Hendry in the West Coast, or the East Coast, excuse me, and Opaque Space, who do astronaut training with VR. The reason that they're doing really well is because VR, I think, lends itself to doing things that are dangerous or hard to do in real life, like going to space is hard to do without actually going to space, or the stuff that Sentient's doing, which is training for things that are dangerous, like working with high voltage electricity or working at heights. And so it lends itself to that. But I think it's still a little bit clunky for, you can't do a lot of things when you're in virtual reality. You can't eat when you're in virtual reality, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, makes gaming a little bit less fun.
I think it's like, it's a pretty expensive platform. It's not super accessible for your regular average Joe. So, I love being in VR. It's really exciting, but I don't know. And it's quite a large setup as well. It takes up a lot of space, but still amazing.
Yeah, but it's becoming more accessible. It's just taking longer because it's more of that enterprise
stuff. But do you reckon it will be like a household item?
I had a bet with someone and I totally lost.
What was the bet for?
Oh, I think it was that it was going to go mainstream by like last year. Yeah, so I definitely lost that bet. I think that it's going to require it not being so cumbersome. So I think we're starting to get to that point where it's just kind of wearing glasses. But there's a whole other set of kind of issues with that, which Google experienced when they tried to make glass, which they're doing again. Yeah, so they're doing it again because maybe it was too soon. But yeah, we'll see. See what happens.
I think pricing is a big factor as well, because it was a really high barrier for a lot of people to get in. And now that we're seeing some headsets that are around the same price as your home console, that does make a big difference for people.
Yeah. Yeah, the Microsoft ones too. Like I know Maze is working with the Microsoft ones that I think, and they also have the, you don't have to have those, what are they called? The lighthouses. You don't have to have that whole setup that you did with the Vive. So it makes it, I think it just uses internal cameras.
Oh, wow.
So it makes it a lot easier to, so it's like that kind of stuff is making it a lot easier and less expensive.
So Soph, do you hope that the PlayUp Perth showcase will connect the film audience of Revelation Film Festival with game developers and get those people on board?
Yes, yeah, totally. I think like if the, movie crew see what's like the potential of video games and the stories that can be told and the creative people working in it as well. Like, you know, these are super skilled, highly talented people. And like, I think there's so many collaborations and possibilities in that alone. And yeah, just the fact that we're actually able to work with them now, like they're not ignoring us. I don't know if they're ignoring us, but it didn't occur to them. And like, even like people realizing that there are video games in Perth, you know, reaching out to that, like a wider audience can only be a good thing. I'm hoping so. I'm excited to meet all these TV movie people. I think it'd be kind of fun. I'm really like proud of what Perth has to show for itself, particularly just in general, actually. I think we've had a few really, really amazing years and I want to show that off. So, I'm really excited about this PlayUp edition, PlayUp Game Zone, presented by Sentient. I think it's going to be really, really cool. So, yeah.
And just finally for both of you, what is the one aspect of it you're most excited for people to experience?
Oh, I think for me, it's kind of, and just kind of to jam on what you were saying, is that intersection of all the different kind of industry sectors, because it's really explicitly designed so that you might come because you're curious about VR, but then, you know, find yourself at the play at Perth Game Zone and be like, oh, what's this? And just have your mind blown and to have those kind of collaborations, because it's explicitly set up so that there is something to kind of draw people in from all different backgrounds and getting to talk to each other.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what VR is going on in Perth, because I don't actually know. I do know like quite a few people working in it, but I haven't seen what they're doing, and I haven't, seen the extent of it all. And also on a personal level, I'm going to probably throw in a few weird games into the mix over the weekend, so I'm excited to see how they get received.
I'm excited about that.
Yep.
So, well, that's about all we have time for on today's show. Kate, if people want to find out more about XRWA, where can they go?
Oh, that's a great question. So tickets are on sale. If you go to xrwa.com.au, you can buy tickets for the whole festival. You can buy tickets for individual events for Play Up Perth. I think it's $10 to come.
Yeah. That's for the whole, like, that's not just for Play Up. That's like the whole Emporium?
I think that's just for Play Up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, cool.
Well, there we go. So that's on from the 6th to the 14th. So thank you very much for joining us for another episode of Pixel Sift. Thank you very much, Kate and Soph, for joining us, telling us all about XRWA. I know I'm very excited to see what will be there.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
That's right. So this episode has been hosted by myself and Gianni. Thanks for joining me tonight, Gianni.
Always a pleasure.
It was produced by Mitch Lowe, and the executive producer once again was Gianni Di Giovanni. Now, we wouldn't have been able to make 123 episodes of Pixel Sift if we didn't have the support of Murdoch University. So you can go check them out and tell them that we sent you. So if you're keen to learn more about a great creative degree, you can go to murdoch.edu.arts/arts. As always, we'll be sticking links to topics we talked about in the show notes on our website, and that's at www.pixelsift.com.au.
Thank you to everyone who has joined us on Discord, and every episode we'll ask you about the topic that we're going to be talking about, and we get your input into the show, so you get to hear what's happening. If you want to join, you can do that on our website, which is pixelsift.com.au/discord. You can share your creative work as well, because we love to see what people are making, talk about any of the topics or talk about any of the games that you've been playing. So that is pixelsift.com.au/discord. I want to give a big shout out to Scott, who made that new piece of intro music for us. It's been a long time, about 122 episodes with the old one, and we've now got a brand new one. So thank you to Scott as well, who's doing a lot of work behind the scenes. If you like what we do, tell a friend. We don't pay to advertise, so we rely on you telling people that you think we do a good job.
And our next episode will be on the 27th of June. And if you join us this time next week, it will be Pixel Sift Plays, where we play some of the many games that are featured on our show. So that's all for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.